Maryland police think they're investigating a savage attack inside a Lululemon store. One woman is dead and another is beaten and tied up. Welcome to True Crime Recaps. I'm Amy. But little do the cops know, the killer is right under their noses. She played them the whole time and all over a pair of stolen yoga pants. Let's recap. This story starts on a typical Saturday morning in Bethesda, Maryland, just on the other side of the Washington, D.C. border. Now, Bethesda is a small city, only about 68,000, but what it lacks in people, it makes up for in dollars and college degrees. When locals need to shop, they head to Bethesda Row. Now, I want you to imagine the fanciest shopping district in your town. Bethesda Row is like that. The kind of place where the worst thing to happen is getting full fat cow milk in your coffee instead of oat. In the middle of all this perfection sits two adjacent stores, Lululemon and Apple. They're at the heart of this tale of murder, deceit, and callous indifference. It's shortly before 8 a.m. on March 12th, 2011. The Lululemon manager arrives to open the store, but something's off. The door is unlocked. The lights are on. The store looks ransacked. She calls out, "Is someone here?" And this painful moan calls back. She's scared. So she sees a man standing outside the adjacent Apple store. He's waiting for it to open so he can scoop up the latest iPad. And she asks him to come inside with her. He walks to the back where he finds the body of 30-year-old Jana Murray, face down in a pool of blood with a rope around her neck. On the bathroom floor nearby is 28-year-old Brittany Norwood. Luckily, Brittany's still alive. Zip ties bind her hands and feet. There's a hole cut in the crotch of her pants. She's covered in cuts and bruises, so the Lululemon manager calls 911. Jana is dead. Brittany looks like she's been through a war. An ambulance brings her to a nearby hospital where she makes a speedy recovery. She tells police she and Jana closed up that night, but she forgot her wallet in the store and she called Jana to let her in. They arrived back at Lululemon around 10, at which point two masked men rush them and force them into the store. Take a listen.
911, what is the emergency? There's two people in the back of my store. One person seems dead and the other person is breathing. The store was open this morning. I think one of my managers came in to open it. Someone's tied her up. I need an ambulance right away.
The bad guys robbed the place. They molested both women and hollered racial slurs at Brittany. They beat and stabbed Jana to death, but they spared Brittany because, as she said, they liked having sex with her more. But there's something really odd about Brittany's story, and not just the fact that she said that these guys liked having sex with her more, which is why they spared her life. The details seem to change every time. Whenever police notice, Brittany has an answer. So how did we end up here in the bloody back room of a Lululemon store? Jana Murray and Brittany Norwood led two different lives. Jana was a 30-year-old grad student at Johns Hopkins University. She grew up in Texas, the daughter of a Houston oil operations manager, but she moved to D.C. to finish her degree. She was writing her final thesis on Lululemon's business model when she took the job. Now, if you're not familiar with the store, the company describes itself as a technical, athletic apparel company for yoga, running, training, and most other sweaty pursuits. Oh, and they charge a lot for that gear. Their employees, or rather their educators, as they call them, are supposed to be aspirational, sunshiny, outgoing examples of the benefits of fitness. Now, let me tell you, working at Lululemon sounds interesting. In the same way that a 6 a.m. spinning class sounds like an interesting idea. One former employee wrote about the company culture for Salon. She worked at a New York Lululemon store when this all happened. So in her words, it seemed inevitable. Educators are pressed to be our best selves, she wrote. Treat life like a party and never give up on greatness. If you're unhappy, angry, paranoid, just tell a different story. The idea that you could shape reality to look however you wanted suddenly seemed dangerous, especially among my type A coworkers who exercised and worked and ate so little that it was not really a surprise that someone eventually snapped. Jana was an athlete who loved hiking, traveling, and dancing. The Lululemon job was the perfect way to earn a little money and meet other active people in the DC area. Now, Brittany was a year or so younger. She grew up one of nine kids in Washington State, playing soccer since she could tie her shoes. Her parents ran their own furniture upholstery business. Some years business was good, other years, it wasn't. But they always made sure that they had money set aside for Brittany's soccer. She was a powerhouse defender on the pitch, but off the field, she was a mild-mannered, good student. aiming for a spot on the U.S. women's national team. She earned a soccer scholarship to Stony Brook University in Long Island, New York, where she studied sociology. She was friendly, she was cheerful, she was a good player with a good personality. But when no one was looking, Brittany dropped the team player persona. The girl was a klepto. One teammate told ABC 7 the rule was, watch your locker, keep it locked, because she's been known to steal things. Cash and clothes mysteriously went missing when Brittany was around. She moved to the Washington, D.C. area in 2005 to be closer to some of her siblings. Some reports say that move came after she got kicked out of college because of the stealing. She got a job at the front desk at a luxury hotel near the White House, but Brittany wanted something different. She wanted a future that looked a little bit more like the past she'd left behind. Something in sports. Maybe she'd open a gym, become a personal trainer. What better place to work and get discounts on cute athletic gear than Lululemon? So she took a job as a Lululemon educator. Just 2 hours before the store closed at 9 p.m. on March 11th, 2011, Brittany and Jaina were pairing up to meet their sales goals. Typical stuff if you've ever worked in retail. But one of the last guests that night told the Washington Post that the girl seemed perfectly fine. Jaina was selling this woman on a new jacket when Brittany comes strolling over and she compliments her on how good she looks in it. And then, you know, the woman buys the stuff and everybody's happy and everybody meets her quota. But then everything changed. It's store policy for coworkers to check each other's bags for stolen merchandise before leaving. But Brittany and Jaina are the only two people in the store that night. They're checking each other's bags when Jaina finds a pair of leggings in Brittany's purse. Both women leave the store around 9:45. Jaina calls the manager from her car. And then just before 10 p.m., Brittany calls Jaina and says she left her wallet in the store. Okay, little backstory here, because if you're wondering, like, how do we know? Because is this, are we just going off Brittany's word? We're not. Brittany actually called a different coworker to get Jaina's number. She told that coworker that she left her wallet in the store and she needed Jaina's number because they just left and Jaina had the keys. So she gave her Jaina's number. Brittany calls Jaina. She tells her she left her wallet. Jaina agrees to meet up with her to unlock the door. So the alarm system shows that the door was unlocked at 10:05 p.m. An argument ensues. Employees in the adjacent Apple store hear these two women screaming at each other. One of them says, "Talk to me, don't do this, what's going on?" That's followed by at least 10 minutes of, wait for it, dragging, grunting, thudding, and high-pitched squealing. And then the same voice says, "God help me, please help me." CCTV footage inside the Apple store shows these two employees listening through the wall but doing nothing.
Take a look at this video, and in it you saw it first here on ABC 7 yesterday, by the way. In this video, Bethesda Apple store employees can be seen listening at that back wall there that separated them from the Lululemon store.
They both leave the store around 11 thinking, oh, whatever, it's just coworker drama next door. Well, 12 hours later, yeah, they learn it's much, much more. At first, police are looking for two masked men wearing size 14 shoes. That's thanks to the big bloody shoe prints found around the store and near Jaina's body. They ask local clothing stores if any suspicious men have purchased ski masks recently. They even tail a guy who resembles the attacker Brittany described. But as the evidence comes together, a voice in their gut starts telling them, eh, Brittany isn't being honest. Now let's start with the shoe prints. Police found the size 14 Reeboks used to make those prints. They were for sale at the store. While the murder scene was covered in prints, they seemed to stop before reaching the exits at the front and back of the store. It looks like at least one of the girls, though, almost made it out the back before someone pulled her back in. So did the killers take off their shoes, throw them back into the store, and flee in their socks? Yeah, probably not. That's odd, right? Well, Brittany described her attackers, it seemed outlandish to the cops. She's calling them, they're killers, they're robbers, they're rapists, they're racists. As one detective puts it, they were the worst human beings you could possibly ever imagine, ever. It was a little much. Furthermore, rape kits on Brittany and Jaina came back negative. According to doctors, neither woman was sexually assaulted, despite Brittany saying the opposite, in very graphic terms. While casing the scene, the police find Jaina's car parked about three blocks away. Brittany's blood is on the door, the steering wheel, and the gear shifts, so how did that happen? Brittany said she'd never been in Jaina's car. She was like, I don't even know what it looks like. It took a week for police to wonder if their victim was actually their suspect. So why did it take so long? Well, I mean, Brittany, She didn't have the rap sheet you'd expect for an attack like this. A speeding ticket in 2005, she never showed up to the court date. But in 2007, you can see a hint of what was to come. An ex-boyfriend took out a restraining order against her. When he tried to break it off, Brittany comes at him with fists flying. Even after she was court-ordered to keep her distance, she stalked him and his new girlfriend. A bench warrant was issued for her arrest in spring of 2008, but she was never arrested and it expired in 2009. On March 17th, Brittany's siblings called the police. They say that their sister is withholding information. She's afraid her attackers are going to come back since they knew her name and they knew where she lived. How? Well, according to Brittany, they found bills in her purse with her name and address on them. The next day, the police call her in for yet another conversation, their third. Here's how she explains away the blood evidence in the car.
Explain to you guys how it, that night played out. Mm-hmm. Prior to him sexually assaulting me and zip tying me, they made me move her car.
Okay.
I know where her car is. And they seem to know where it was, where she was parked.
Okay.
They asked, they said where are her keys. I have no idea. I don't, one of them punched me in my head and made me look through her coat and her bag for them. When I finally found them, they said if I was to pass to anyone and open my mouth, I can consider myself dead.
That's the moment police knew Brittany was no victim. So she was arrested for the murder of Jana Murray. More details come out at Brittany's trial. The theory is that Brittany called Jana back to the store, not knowing that she had already talked to the manager. She tried persuading Jana not to say anything, but the genie was already out of the bottle. And the rest of the conversation, well, you know how that went. Brittany savagely attacked Jana with 5 or 6 different weapons. Things she found in the store. A heavy, like a metal thing holding up a mannequin, rope from a display, a hammer, a knife, and a box cutter from the store's toolkit. Are you ready for this? Jana sustained 331 injuries. Just think about that for a second. 331 wounds. When was the last time you did anything 300 times in a row? And worse, 105 of those were defensive wounds, more than any other victim the medical examiner ever came across. The attack must have gone on for at least 20 minutes, and Jana was probably alive for most of it. The killing blow was a stab wound to the back of her neck that severed her spinal cord and dug into her brain. The brain damage would have completely paralyzed her. She wouldn't have been able to defend herself as the attack went on. Overkill? That's an understatement. Brittany left that girl so badly beaten, it was hard to tell if you were looking at one injury or multiple. In fact, the damage was so bad that Jana's family couldn't have an open casket funeral. Because of a pair of yoga pants? What? Really? Now, once Jana was dead, Brittany moved her car 3 blocks away and then she sat there. She sat in that car for 90 minutes. Planning her next move. She went back to the store and she began doctoring up the crime scene. First, she put on those size 14s and she tracked Jana's blood around the store. And then she took money from the register to make it look like a robbery. What happened to that cash? Who knows? Well, Brittany had to make it look like she was attacked too, right? So she cut herself a little, mostly on the head because head wounds bleed a lot. She used zip ties to bind her hands and feet, pulling them tight with her teeth. And then she sat in that dark store all night with her coworker's brutalized body, waiting for the manager to find her the next morning. Now remember, this is the same manager who was probably about to fire her that day. Now jurors learned more about Brittany's kleptomania. She had a lot of weird run-ins. She'd allegedly left a salon without paying, claiming someone stole her wallet and ran out. According to a coworker at a Lululemon in D.C., Brittany was suspected of stealing, but they couldn't prove it. So instead of, like, firing her, since they couldn't prove it, she was simply transferred to the Bethesda store. Some investigative reporting by true crime author Peter Range revealed that coworkers at the Bethesda store also suspected Brittany of stealing little things, cash, other stuff from them for a long time. In fact, the manager had wanted to fire Brittany for weeks. She just needed proof. So when Jana called about the stolen leggings, she allegedly said, "We got the bitch." Oh, based on Brittany's text messages, investigators believe she may also have been doing sex work on the side. They found a Craigslist post offering Brittany's personal services. So some suspect that Brittany may have been jealous of Jaina, and she snapped that night in the store. It's hard to tell because, really, over a pair of yoga pants is crazy. But Peter also discovered a plot to catch Brittany in the act. He claims the store's leadership team debated using hidden cameras to catch her stealing. The night that she was killed, Jaina was supposed to meet up with another coworker at a nearby restaurant, but that coworker had to cancel, and she allegedly texted Jaina saying, "Hey, I'm headed home. I'm sorry, hope you survived." As the Lululemon murder story gained traction, many people asked why the Apple Store employees didn't call the police. In the CCTV footage, you can clearly see them standing there listening to that argument between Brittany and Jaina. Well, even if it was coworker drama, nobody screams, "God, please help me," during a petty workplace argument, especially after 10 long minutes of crashing sounds and screaming. And they call these people geniuses. Well, the judge in Brittany's case called it callous indifference. As for Brittany, she was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison without parole. Her lawyer tried to throw a few legal curveballs to get the charges reduced to second-degree murder. Her lawyers argued there was no bad blood between Brittany and Jaina. The killing was an unfortunate crime of passion, but the jury didn't buy it. One of them asked the others, "Who thinks it's first degree?" And everybody raised their hands. I mean, you call somebody back on this ruse just to talk to them? They called that premeditated. Brittany Norwood is currently locked up at the Maryland Correctional Institution for Women, where she'll spend the rest of her life. About a month after the murder, Lululemon announced plans to renovate and reopen the store on Bethesda Row. To their credit, they dedicated the reopening to Jaina's memory. They eventually moved to a new location in 2017. So, what do you think? Was this really about a pair of yoga pants? Sounds like Brittany had been caught stealing before, so what could have triggered such a violent reaction this time? Let's talk about it in the comments.
And that's your recap.
Thanks for hanging out with us today.
If you like getting all the crime in half the time, go ahead and tap that subscribe button so you never miss a story.
But don't go away. Catch up on more recaps right here, right now.
Until next time, take care.